Benjamin can have love for the trucky. Beautiful minds, but we love getting ugly. Risk takers with a clover, man, we love getting lucky. You run, we chase fire, I love when it ducks me. Tones go off, house watch, read the address out. 1075, get up off the magic couch. 500 gallons prepared for the baddest drought. Who else you want on the way when disaster's out? Can't even get a little bit rattled when you enter with exit apparel. Mayday member down, they'll drag you. You won't get this from every Tom, Dick, and Harold. But here's a view from the top floor with Mickey Farrell.
What do you gotta do?
As long as the fire engineering.
Oh,
as long as I'm in my studio by like 20 to 3.
Yeah. Man, and to think a while ago you were like, I want nothing to do with any of this. Fucking love it. I love it.
I
wanna ask you this.
Okay, that's
one. Before we get on to what we were just talking about, this whole process for you has not been easy.
No. You know, it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but the best thing I've ever done. I feel like I'm a rebirth, not into the job, but mm-hmm. rebirth of who I am as an individual.
Yeah.
I feel like it has built my confidence to the point of my years of in high school, I got voted most easily embarrassed.
Thank you.
Most easily embarrassed in the yearbook and shyest.
Were you really?
Yeah. And now to see where I've come, even my mom, she's just like, I can't believe you go and speak in front of all these people. You were the one who used to hide when someone knocked on the front door. And I was the kid that'd be hiding under the bed. Someone's at the door, you know? So it's just...
That's wild.
But because of this journey with you, honestly, it has been beneficial in my personal life. It's been beneficial in my professional life. I can walk in any kitchen now at a firehouse and feel confident. And before that, it's really hard to walk into a kitchen. And I think it's funny that people will write policies, right? The civilians, the lawyers, all these things. They've never walked into a firehouse kitchen and had to have their balls broken. But they write all these policies on how we can't break balls. They don't understand, like, that's the welcoming committee.
Sure.
If they're not breaking your balls, they don't like it, right? Sure. That's what everyone says, but it's a real thing. There's nothing worse than walking into a firehouse kitchen, nobody talking to you. And you being shy or awkward, not talking to them, now it's an awkward dynamic. You have to build a level of confidence walking into any kitchen, in any job, I get that. But the firehouse kitchen, very unique. And if you don't have that confidence level to adapt, you're gonna have a long tour and a long career. And now covering officer, I'm not really a covering officer anymore, but when I first started bouncing around, I had such a confidence level because of this journey with you and just speaking that I could walk in any kitchen, like, I'm here. You don't like me? I don't care. I know who I am.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah, and that's confidence that translates. The guys can feel that energy. You go to a fire, that confidence level translates to a fire ground.
Yeah.
To the fire floor. Mm-hmm. It all goes together.
I travel all over this country. I go into firehouses all over the country. Whether invited or I'm passing one and I'm like, hey, I got a few minutes. I'd love to see what's behind the door. I've had to, you know, it is quite a dynamic situation.
Yeah.
To work that room and then to get to a point where there's open conversation and dialogue and some laughs and smiles. And for me, like a lot of people have their guard up. You know, it's a little bit different, I think, for you because you know, it's your job and, you know, and so on. For me, I'm going to different firehouses in different towns and cities, volunteer career and every type of department in between. And you're working that dynamic. And like, I have to, and a lot of times it's like, who's this guy? What does he want? You know, what's he up to? And there's a lot of guard that goes up, you know, like any firehouse, right?
I think you've said it, like, especially when you show up, oh, who's this guy from National Fire Radio?
Right, what a clown. What's this guy want?
And the senior guy is this, he
circles.
He disconnects.
Right.
Slowly comes back,
right.
Stops, listens, walks away, comes back.
Yep.
Now he's in the circle.
I do talk about that, yeah.
And the next thing you know, he's communicating with you. He's talking, he's telling stories.
And he takes over.
Yeah.
Which, and that's when I just fade back into the crowd.
And you've done your job.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, for me, is like what the reward is.
Yeah.
Like, I love when I'm able to do that. And then I really love when one of the guys looks at me when we're leaving, you know, a half hour later, and they're like, oh, thanks for, you know, it was nice meeting you, blah, blah, blah. And I go, you know, I never heard those stories before. I never heard Joe's stories.
Yeah.
And I go, well, then my job is done here. right?
Yeah.
That's cool. And I get to, like, I did a podcast yesterday with John Simpson, Bart. They call him Bart Simpson. Founder, one of the founding guys of the Fools.
I met him in Texas. Okay. Nice man. Really nice man.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely in love with the fire service. But the podcast yesterday with him, we hit so many big topics. You know, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. We hit so many hard topics. And the one topic of all of it was, he said to me at the end, he said, thank you for today. This I'm fired up. And he's been retired for many years. I mean, yeah, he teaches across the country, but the banter we had back and forth yesterday fired him up. It like rejuvenated his soul. It was like kitchen table talk, if you will.
Yeah.
And like, and that's a big part of what I say is that we need to be sure that we're doing that, not for me. Do it for the guys that have come before us, those guys that have laid this groundwork for us. We still need to include them because they need the storytelling more than we do.
Yeah. I think what you do, and you don't realize maybe, is that generation, the Bart Simpson guy, right? Those senior guys that were so involved with the kitchen table, the banter, the fun, the ball breaking. Well, now with the new, softer, gentler kind of fire service that civilians and lawyers are pushing upon us, there's that, like, void space where we can't meet in the middle. And now the kids are on their phone, texting each other, doing Snapchats. When I say kids, just the next generation, and nothing against them. It's just, I see it every day. It's the world we're living.
Yep.
And the senior guys are still reading the paper, and no one's talking. You get in that middle void space and bring them together, and then next thing you know, here we are. The old days of everyone's talking, everyone's laughing, having a good time, sharing stories that these kids never heard because this guy's clammed up because of that void space that the outside world has created for us.
We're missing the salesman. We're missing the guy in the firehouse that is the one that pays attention to the bigger picture inadvertently, meaning he's just watching. I mean, he's involved in his own stuff, just like everybody else is today. But he's also looking at, like, all right, it's kind of quiet in here. Everybody's separated. Like, yep. let's go bang some pots on the floor. Let's go, you know, do something and get people back in, you know. And we're missing that guy. And it was always in a firehouse, you know, maybe years ago there was more than one guy. Then it becomes one guy. And now we're starting to lose that. And like that position in the fire company is like, it doesn't mean it doesn't have to be a senior man. It's usually not the officer. It's usually somebody that just has this like love for the interaction and the fun. And there's something I absolutely love, the one Instagram page that popped up recently. I reached out to the guys. I want to get them on the podcast, actually. It's called Back of the Bay, where it's just pictures of the tailboards of the trucks with couches or cigar tables or what have you. And I think that captures what we all need more of.
Yeah.
And how important that back of the bay is. Like, I freaking love that because that's where guys get engaged. That's where guys will put these down, or they will go on and be like, did you guys see this nonsense? Did you see that guy from National Fire Radio? What a clown, right? Like, whatever it is. But it brings the commonality together, you know? And we need that guy in the firehouse more than ever. And, like, I think we're losing it.
Yeah, it goes, we are losing it. Listen to this. It goes both ways because where I work now, the senior guy, he's become a mentor of mine just because the way he conducts himself, absolute professionalism. He is a professional firefighter from just the way he...
Love
he,
that.
Just the way he...
Mm-hmm.
Just, he resonates professionalism.
Yeah.
Consistency, equal professionalism, I say it all the time, but his consistency is so dead on. He said to me one night, I find myself reading a lot more books than I ever have before. So now, when I see him reading a book, I interrupt this book just to talk with him because he's disconnected from the kitchen because they're all doing this. So he's like, well, screw this. I'm doing this.
I'll do my own thing.
So
right?
When I see him reading, I know where his mind is. He's frustrated. So I try to interact with that, pull him back. You know what? Let's do a drill. Then we all get together. Now we're talking fires. But when you see the senior guy in the book, he's probably thinking, fuck this. I just want this tour to be over. I want to go home. See my kids. So it goes both ways.
That there, though, what you just brought to light, though, is exactly what we need more of. You are consciously reading the room and realizing that if the senior man's reading books because he's made a comment to you about he's reading more books than ever, that's his way of saying to you, like, hey, we're losing our path. We're losing our way. And but you picked up on that. How many guys would be like, oh, what are you reading? You know what I mean? Like, it's not so much the message. It's more like, oh, that's great. I mean, reading's good. I wish I read more.
Yeah. And the best thing is, the books he's reading, it's not about sailing. It's not about fishing. It's about leadership. It's about understanding where you fit in. All the things that he wants to take and give to these kids, but the kids are separated. When I say kids, it's just two different generations. Mm-hmm. I happen to be in the other generation at this point in my life. Am I proud of that? I don't know, but... I still wish I could. I was driving to work the other
morning. We're not going backwards.
No, but I was driving to work the other morning. And I feel I've come so far in my life and my career, and I'm proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, self-made in the sense where, yes, third generation, but not a third generation New York City fireman. And that's
you worked for it. Yes. It wasn't handed to you.
No, and that's a job where getting on the job and getting to where you have to be, two separate things. Everyone can get on that job. Ending up in the firehouse you want to end up in, that can't happen to everyone. You have to do it for yourself. If you have a dad that's a chief, possibly, then you kind of get placed where you want to be placed.
Thank you.
For the most part. And I agree with that. I do agree with that. Because if I do 30 years in the fire department and my son decides to come on the job, I would expect the job to take care of me and my son. But when you're a first-generation firefighter, you have to blaze that trail.
Yeah.
And do the right thing. And as you do the right thing, the job will give back to you. It comes back to, if you take care of this job, you cherish it, you nourish it, you love it to every level, this job will always take care of you and your family for generations to come. I truly believe that. And I think that if you're a first generation firefighter in a certain city or town, you better be doing the right thing for the legacy of your name and your family coming on the job. Sandful.
I'm torn. I mean, I agree with everything you say. But I was, you know, outside of the fire service, just in life, I was the boss's kid.
Okay.
Fat, drunk, and stupid. And I took advantage of that early on outside of college and so on. And then 2008, 2009, economy correction hits. And it goes, I either have to lay off three employees or you're gone. And that was the first time my father held me accountable to that level ever. I had to make a decision that day, and that was the day I sealed my fate with the paid fire service, that I was never going to be a career fireman because I needed that job. I didn't do anything to learn that job as the boss's kid until that moment. But only then did I get held accountable, and then I grew that business, and I grew up in that business. The problem is like we allow too many people to be the boss's kid. And I think that what we have to be very protective of, and you know my program where I talk about the different generations, we always want to soften and make it easier for our kids, the next generation. And as that first generation fireman, you have to fight every battle yourself. So there's some grit,
yeah.
Right? There's some earned, you've earned everything that you have. And what I would just say is that we have to challenge the next generation that if it is a generational job, which it is, most of these kids that come up as second, third, fourth generation have the same grit and determination. But we just have to make sure that we know that that has to exist, that we can help you along the way. We need this job to take care of us because we've done so much to protect that job. But there's also a lot of slugs that come up second, third, and fourth generation too.
And I would say probably more slugs than not. But the ones that come on and do the right thing, they're outstanding.
So doing the right thing is pretty wild. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine the other day, a mutual friend, and he's looking at a promotional spot, and he could take the easy road and get a pretty good promotional spot right now, but he wants more out of it, so he's waiting. And he might have to wait another 8, 12, 20 months to get the spot that he wants, but he's willing to put the time in and wait instead of taking that easy grab.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it is.
It goes, this is where I think we struggle a lot is that we live in an immediate society and we want everything now. And this job's not about now. But to teach that and instill that value into people especially the younger generations, that this is, it's going to take you longer to get to where you want to be. It's not happening now. Maybe in your personal life, maybe with your marriage, with your real estate, with your finances, whatever it is, you want to make it happen now, you might be able to do that. But the fire service is one of those things that, like, is inherently built on longevity.
Yeah, and I got beat up a little bit on the one show I did on work-life balance. For me, I think if you're successful in this business as the fire service, there's no such thing as work-life balance your first year and consecutive years right after that. When you prove yourself and you gain some time on the job, you can pull away from the job just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Always be a student, but you're pulling away the understanding that, okay, there's more to it. There's more to life.
Right.
That's why it's a young man's job. Physically, yes, it's a young man's job. But the lifestyle is a very young man's job. You have to prove to your new family that you're all in. It's like adopting a kid and not paying attention to him. It's the same concept as you being down, coming in.
You're right.
I mean, it's just something that, and I got beat up on that quite a bit. I got messages, emails, like, you're fucking with mental health, this
and that. You know what that is, though? That's short-sightedness. Again, that's immediate. Nobody's listening to what you're saying. Nobody's reading your post and taking a second to pause.
A lot of these guys didn't put the work I put in
to get to
where I was, and the happiness I have where I am. And my happiness comes from being all in the first couple years. Proving yourself. This guy's in. We see guys come in now with this work-life balance. Oh, I need a personal day. I need off for church on Sunday. Well, you know what? We'll take the rig to church. If it's that important to you, I'll take the rig to the local church and we'll go say a prayer with you. We're a family. We'll do whatever it takes for you to be here, but you have to show us you're in. But by taking off to go to church, I just don't understand that. The details. The devil's in the details, everything we do in this job, and that gets overlooked. Because like you like to always say, like the broad stroke, right?
Yeah.
Within those little granules of that actual paintbrush, that's the good stuff. And you have to
That's the texture, right?
Yeah, and this job is full of texture.
You paint a wall, you can go broad with the roller, but it's those little textures that catches the light hitting it in a certain way that you go, oh, who painted that wall?
And you know what that is? That's culture.
Yeah.
You can't teach culture. Culture is passed on from generation to generation, but the only way you can learn culture, can't teach it, but if you can learn it, is if you're all in.
Well, that's, yeah. And it's kind of what I was saying. I mean, what's really interesting is, like, today there's more opportunity than ever. Younger generations, there's a lot of talk in the fire service about lack of loyalty. They bounce around. You know, they don't stick with one fire department, especially in the South, where, you know, the Northeast is kind of its unique animal, right? That up here, it truly is a career. Like, you can work that one job. You might have a side hustle, but your fire job is your main job.
Yeah.
Whereas other parts of the country, you're looking to South and out West and Southwest and so on, they're growing at such an exponential rate that guys are looking for second jobs, third jobs. I mean, I know district chiefs in major cities in the South that work a side fire job, just to have additional income to supplement.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think if you're a high-ranking chief, you wouldn't need to do that, right? Think about that. That's the type of job that we're talking about, career. So it's a little bit different up here, right? But what I find really interesting about that is there's more opportunity than ever before. And going all in on your people, we require our firefighters to go all in. Right? Where you come from, there is this, from day one, they're hit over the head that we are the best. And this is where you belong. And if you want to be a part of it, you sign up for it. You're in. Now you got to represent us and do this, 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 and this. There's a lot of fire departments out there that just don't promote that. And it's a job. And they take their people for granted. And so younger kids today have more opportunity than ever to go wherever they want to go. And if they start here and they're not getting what they need, they'll go there. And if they're not getting what they need, they go there. And I think that's an interesting conversation because ultimately it doesn't really come down to money. It's not a money conversation anymore. It's a time. It's an experience. I look at fire departments that do these recruitment drives where they're out there soliciting at conferences, like, come work for us. We go to 7,000 fires a year. We do this. We do that. We do this. That's a department that's dialed in on their people. They want to share their experience. We might not be able to pay you the most, but you come here, we're going to make you a fireman. We're going to give you experience.
It doesn't matter the fires you go to. It's who you go to fires with. If you're going to fires
with 100%, right.
With good men and women.
It's all part of it.
That's it. It's all you really need.
Right.
When you start chasing fires, like people chase departments, you're going to lose.
I think they chase because they're not getting what they need where they are. And it's not just about the fires.
I think if you change from within, you can change the culture.
I agree with you. And this is where departments need to look at it and say, like, why aren't we keeping people? Why do we have turnover? And when you start breaking that down and you start realizing, well, we're not offering this, we don't do this, it's not pay. The younger generations today want experience. I look at my older kids, all they want to do is travel. They have a good living. They make good money. They're professionals in what they do, and they make a good living. But to them, they'd rather make a few bucks less if they could go take a week off and travel.
I love that.
It's an experience.
But what that experience is intel. Because when they're ready, they find their path.
100%.
Boom. They have all that intel.
And today, there's more opportunity than ever. They can find what they're looking for. If this experience isn't for them because the department or the culture sucks, or it doesn't promote a training culture or a betterment or a back of the bay or any of that type of stuff that they're seeking out today, there's advertising everywhere. If you want that, you can go get it.
Well, it goes two ways, though.
Talk to me.
This is, I know what you're saying from mm-hmm. a smaller department aspect, but when you work in a major city,
yep,
and you're in a good place, but yep. you want more from the job,
yep,
don't rush it.
Well,
every little mistake you're making along the way,
I love that,
in the end, will make you a great fireman.
I agree with
make you. Make you a great person. When you start rushing the process, next thing you know, you're at a certain point and it's a dead-end street because you rushed it. It's like taking a bottle of soda and just shaking it to the point where it's going to explode. You open it, it explodes, you lose. But if you just kind of slowly move, to a certain point, though, it never explodes on you. It never fails you.
That's why it's a long game.
It's always a long game. Fall in love with the process. I have it on my shirts, my stickers, but you have to fall in love with the process.
But you also have to find that balance between. You know, sometimes in that long game, you need to realize that ship's sinking.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I think what's interesting too, though, is like in a big job, most people do not work for a big job.
Yeah.
Or volunteer, right? Because this hits everyone. You don't work for a big department. You don't volunteer for a department that offers you a lot of opportunities or changes or what have you. So now you're like, I'm stuck here. In a big job, you're like, well, this might be the company that I don't want to end up at. And so I have the opportunity to bid out of here. If I put my head down, work hard, demonstrate a good reputation, that even if I'm coming from a dud company, I can make myself look palatable and get myself to another
good
company,
guys gravitate
right?
to great places.
That's it.
And I guess, so I stand corrected. So what you're saying is that I believe good guys gravitate to great places and big jobs. When your job's not big, the fire service becomes your job. And mm-hmm. you have to.
I love that.
Almost like a chess match.
You're 100% right.
Where checkmate is.
Kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah. That makes sense. I get spoiled. I do.
100%.
And I lose sight in the sense how lucky I truly am. I know how lucky I am. But I get so wrapped up in my world sometimes where it's hard to disconnect and go back to, okay, I work in a city that has two engines and a truck and I'm miserable.
Right.
What's next? I love this job.
Yeah.
Just
what's
not for me.
What's next for me? I can't go anywhere. I can't move anywhere. There's no upward movement here. I work for a department that doesn't have any promotional values. It has no senior man,
And I would say that's 90% of the nation probably,
I think
right?
so.
Sad. It's unfortunate.
It's sad, but here's the thing. In that theme of opportunity, those guys have more opportunity today than you and I had when we started back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. If I knew then.
That's what I say.
Right?
Absolutely.
I would have been.
I'll tell you right now, if I knew, like my first email address was freshman year of college. So that's when the internet started. And all of a sudden, I'm in college now and I'm realizing there's bunk in volunteer departments in Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware. And I'm like, if I knew that existed 10 months earlier, I would have moved there right out of high school and went to 7,000 runs a year. You know what I'm saying?
I was living in the Bronx. I left my house at 18, moved to the Bronx. I moved to Queens in the Bronx.
To get hired.
I wasn't messing around. A lot of people play the game. I'm born and raised in New Jersey. I wanted to be a New York City fireman. So I remember, okay, what's your take? You have to be a resident. Guess what? I'm a resident at 18. I moved to New York City. All in. Everything I do, I'm all in. I'm in. So then I start talking to my old man. When I did, oh, your Aunt Barbara, she lives in Secaucus, New Jersey. Oh, that's close to the Bronx. I used her address. I shouldn't probably say this, but, and I falsified an address to be a volunteer in Secaucus because it's close to the Bronx. I can go to fires. But like, if I knew, like you were saying, like there was a whole world of like
that's
chickens
right.
and stuff.
That's right.
It would have been, it would have changed my life. I don't know if it would have been good or bad because the path that I took was kind of gritty to get to where I
get
am.
It.
But like, bartending and like, just.
Yeah, but bro, you wouldn't be, we wouldn't be having lunch today.
No, you're right.
And I don't. I don't, I'm not a regret guy, right? I probably have maybe one regret in life, maybe two. Other than that, life is what it is. And you choose to open those doors and go down those paths. And so if it wasn't available to me back then, well, then it wasn't meant to be, right? I just look at now, today, everybody knows programs like that exist.
It's a good thing.
You have opportunities today more than you've ever had opportunities in the past. Go to conferences. How many conferences did you speak at this past year? Think about it.
My first conference I've ever been to, I was speaking at.
Right.
The first one I ever knew about
right.
speaking. I didn't even know they existed.
Take it back 5 years ago when you and I met, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You didn't even know this whole subculture existed.
No, no idea.
That's my point. And then fast forward from 6 years ago to where we are today, the opportunities just keep piling on top of one another. And so today, there's no reason why you can't find what you need in this unbelievable profession, or even as a volunteer, to just better your skill set, better your, even if you're looking for somebody to share a beer with and have a conversation. I mean, you and I, we've become great friends because of what we've done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade that for the world.
No, you're right.
This makes me a better fireman. This makes me a better husband. It makes me a better father. That's why I say all the time, like, find people that push you to be better. You and I have some pretty deep conversations. It makes me better, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have that 6 years ago. No. And it's not just you. I have other guys. I mean, no.
You make me cry, man.
No. But what I'm saying is like, this has opened. Think about how many doors Top Floor Tactics has opened for you.
Changed my life.
Right? Me too.
Not only a rebirth, like I spoke about in my job and my career, but my personal life, my confidence,
my
writing. I love writing.
Yeah.
Now I get to write every day.
Yes.
And I get people who get to read it every day.
Yeah.
I've been writing my
Sharon.
Whole life
yep.
in a journal that no one's ever going to see. And I have my consistency of posts that come out daily that looks like I'm sitting there writing them for hours. I did years ago.
Yeah.
Now I just get to copy and paste, fine-tune it, send it. And people are now reading material I've written for 10, 20 years. It's crazy to me.
Something about it. But I think what it takes is a giant leap.
Yeah.
You took a leap of faith. You put yourself out there. But I think, I know, I remember our first conversation, and it was you stepping out of the norm that you knew to say, like, what is this? What else exists? And not to speak for you, but I think you were hungry for it. You were looking for something.
Yeah, I mean, I say it all the time.
It's awesome.
Like, I was in a slump.
Yeah.
My job is awesome. Firehouse is awesome. Going to fires daily. Greatest guys, greatest firemen, learning from the greatest senior guys, in my opinion, the entire business. Going home, being disconnected from the job, which I was okay with. Fishing, sailing, running, surfing. Skateboarding, whatever it is that I was into, like music, and then go back to work and do it again and come back. And then it got to the point where I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to retire. You know, I'm coming up in retirement. Start thinking about where I'm going to move to. Do I want to be in the mountains? Do I want to be on the beach? And then I think, well, you know what? I don't want to ever leave the fire service. I think there's got to be more to this.
I love
it so much.
Yeah.
but it's not giving back to me what I need from it. The Firehouse is great, but I want more. And that's how we met, and we've talked about it before, but like just through social media, as social media grew, I got to see a whole subculture of society that I was in love with, but now I'm a part of.
Yeah.
It's been a rebirth, like I said, not for my career, but for who I am as an individual. Like
I would agree with you. I would agree with you 100%. I'm a better person because of it. I talk about it quite often. I talk about my best friends in life today are from the relationships I've formed in the last 6 years.
Think about it. We're almost 50 years old. Mm-hmm. How many people that's encroaching on 50 are making best friends in life?
They're not.
Probably none.
They're not. And I was at a point in my life where National Fire Radio was one of those things that I needed to do for myself. I spent all those years doing stuff for everyone else, family, brothers, my father, working in a family business, all those things I did for everybody else, providing for my wife and my children. And I found myself not having anything for myself other than the Firehouse. It was the only thing that was mine. And I was like, but I need more from it. I loved it so much, but I wanted something back from it other than going to the occasional fire, having the occasional front bumper talk or cracking a beer with the guys at the Firehouse. I was like, I want to go all in on this. And I'm so grateful that I have. And I said this yesterday on a podcast. I said, if this were to end tomorrow, I'm content.
Your work's done already.
I'm content.
The next level for you, that's the gravy. That's the dessert. Like,
that's it, man. Your work's done already. I am better because of it. It's made me better. It's made me more accountable, either in the game as a fireman. It's made me better. It's held me accountable, but it's made me better and accountable for my marriage, my kids, life, my friends. You and I talk literally every day.
Yeah.
Whether it's a text or a phone call.
You know, we live an hour from each other. We see each other probably twice a week.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
there's something to that, but I think that's what matters. And I would just challenge people that are looking and seeking for something more. It's out there, man. But sometimes you got to get yourself a little bit vulnerable. Sometimes you got to put yourself out there. Sometimes you got to understand that where you are today is you need to be a little bit different tomorrow. And I think that's okay. And so I'm grateful, man. I think this, what we just did today, needs to become like a regular thing.
Yeah.
This was awesome. It's like therapy.
Exactly where it is.
It's awesome. I love you, brother. It's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.